Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, November 26th. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll do a brief check-in now on the Trump campaign's ongoing attempts to overturn the election results. Contrary to the impression some recent headlines may have left, the certification of the vote that has taken place in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia the last few days is not the legal end of the line for the nullification effort necessarily. New lawsuits have been filed in a couple of states. The Trump campaign is planning what they call public hearings in Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Michigan. Though look at these headlines from those states. From Arizona's AZ Central, Trump campaign announces Arizona public hearing on election, but lawmakers say none is planned. And from the Detroit Free Press, Trump campaign announces Michigan House hearing that's not happening. So is it more Giuliani, Sidney Powell-style sideshow, or are state legislators there still feeling serious heat to nullify the vote, even after losing like 30 times in court? The GOP is talking about contesting Wisconsin. They're saying a lot about contesting Georgia, where Republican Governor Brian Kemp has certified the vote. They want an audit of signature envelopes that were found by the poll workers to match those on file. Here's RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel yesterday on Fox.
You see in Wisconsin, 243,000 voters said they were indefinitely confined, which meant that they didn't have to show voter ID. That's four times the amount of voters that did that in 2016. In Georgia, in 2018, 200,000 ballots came in with a 3% rejection rate, right. Absentee. This time, you had 1.2 million with a 0.3 rejection rate.
With us now, Zoe Tillman, courts justice, who covers courts justice and the intersection of law and politics for BuzzFeed. Zoe, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
And I said brief check-in. We can do this segment in one question. If you tell me that none of the Republicans who control these state governments are going to try to overturn these certified votes, how much can you tell me that?
I mean, what I can tell you is that as of now, it's really not clear what legal or statutory pathway exists to undo the election results. You know, they can, in the court of public opinion, try and undermine the legitimacy of President-elect Joe Biden's win. They can raise all kinds of questions and conspiracy theories about what happened in this election. But, you know, if we look at the landscape of what's actually pending in court, you know, is there another Bush v. Gore type case out there that could suddenly flip a state that went for Biden to Trump? It's just not there. There are lawsuits pending seeking to block certifications that have already happened, which likely makes them moot. There are cases seeking to somehow ignore the certification and throw it to a state legislature, and it's really not clear how that happens, if that's possible. It's not something courts are going to be particularly inclined to do based on the record before them. You know, and even these public hearings don't really change the results. They don't have to do with undoing the certification. So as of now, it's really not clear, practically speaking, what they can do, especially in court, to stop this from happening.
And from what it looks like to me, they can't do much of anything more in court. Yes, they're still filing more lawsuits. So, you know, they're playing judge roulette. Maybe they'll hit the jackpot in one or more states. But it looks to me like this is not even a legal strategy. This is just a political strategy now. And what these unofficial public hearings, like last-ditch campaign events, perhaps, maybe they're really just grift, you know, to raise money, like they're still sending out all these fundraising emails. But I wonder if they're also intended to whip up big public demonstrations of Trump supporters that they hope will materialize to put pressure on these state lawmakers, because that's the game plan, I think. The president never promised a peaceful transition of power and always said he would reject any defeat as the election being rigged, never mind no evidence. and that he would generate populist outrage to put pressure on these state legislators to go beyond the voters, go beyond the courts, and declare him the winner.
I mean, listen, we have seen no indication from governors in these states, state lawmakers in these states, that they are interested in defying the courts, defying their own state constitutions, defying the will of voters. You know, we certainly haven't seen that coming out of state houses. You know, I think what we have seen in these cases is the Trump campaign and other GOP challengers have used litigation to get a lot of these conspiracy theories out into the public and out onto the record. You know, this whole idea that some of the electronic voting systems were tied to the Venezuelan government, who could tamper with them from abroad, right, somehow.
But that's,
you know,
that's ridiculous. Everybody dismisses that as ridiculous.
Right,
but I played the clip of RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel from yesterday, and I think it's interesting and, you know, scary for people who are concerned about the vote actually being upheld and people not being disenfranchised, that the RNC itself, the Republican National Committee, not just people from QAnon and things like that, are getting involved now. So Ronna McDaniel, that clip, arguing for an audit of signature envelopes in Georgia based on a lower rejection rate than in 2018. She says that's enough to raise suspicion if votes that should not have been counted got counted. Now, I don't know if you've done reporting that can fact check her percentages there. Is that a real discrepancy or just a spin on something that's less than what she said? And does she have Governor Brian Kemp's ear?
Listen, I haven't done reporting on that, but I think what's worth noting is they're not currently in court arguing for any of this. They haven't, you know, put their money where their mouth is and gone to a judge and said, "We need you to step in and change something here." They're not walking the walk to back up the talk, for lack of a better phrase.
Do they need to go to court? But this is my point, you know, from before. Do they need to go to the courts? Or do they just need to go to the Republican politicians who control state government?
I mean, it's possible they see an avenue there in terms of putting public pressure on them. But, you know, it's worth noting that election officials in Georgia and state officials in Georgia have expressed no interest in going along with this. Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, has pushed back quite hard. And who's a Republican,
right,
who, you know, before the election was in court, you know, backing efforts to limit mail-in voting. He's not a, you know, secret Democrat or a secret liberal,
right,
here.
And he Chris Christie, says there's nothing to see here. There's no evidence of fraud. I do still have my eye on Kemp, though, because Kemp's got real power that Raffensperger, as merely Secretary of State of Georgia, doesn't have. And the Trump campaign dismissed campaign lawyer Sidney Powell, as people who are following this enough in the weeds know, for being too much of a conspiracy theorist, even for them. But I was wondering if the specific thing she said at the news conference with Giuliani, that wacky news conference that got her canned, was that Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp is in on this alleged conspiracy to steal the election in some way. Because Trump would need Brian Kemp on his side to try to flip Georgia. And maybe Trump just didn't want to alienate him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a curious way to build allies, certainly. You know, I have to say I'm not clear on what Kemp alone could do if the state house is not with him, if the Secretary of State is not with him, if the courts are not with him, you know, unilaterally. I just don't know that he legally has that power under the state's constitution to just decide what to do with the electoral results. And he would have to answer to the people of Georgia, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not
right,
like he's acting in a vacuum here.
Right. And he would have to run again for election in 2022, and he barely beat Stacey Abrams in 2018. So the politics can cut both ways. So, all right, well, I said brief check-in. These are some of the things. It sounds like you're pretty reassured that these state legislatures that are in Republican hands and those cases in which the governorship is also in Republican hands, that they're going to hold the line on this and not force anything else to happen. It sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, because Trump needs three states in order to throw this to Congress. Three. It sounds like you're pretty confident he's not going to get them.
Anything could happen, but I think in terms of nullifying the results that have already happened, it seems very unlikely. Now, whether this spurs states to do something prospectively, you know, we have the runoff election in Georgia coming soon, and, you know, it's possible Georgia could make some kind of change to how that's going to be run in light of what happened. But as far as going back in time and undoing the will of millions of voters, it's a really tall order.
Zoe Tillman covers the intersection of law and politics for BuzzFeed. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at wnyc.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.